Welcome to this month's installment of Author Audio, brought to you by Quality Progress Magazine and ASQ, the global voice of quality. My name is Mark Edmond, and I'm the Associate Editor of Quality Progress. This month, I'm speaking with the authors of February's cover story, The Power of Positive. Frank Johnston is the consulting psychologist at Optimal Productivity in Rochester, New York, and Dwayne Beck is an adjunct associate professor in the Mechanical and Manufacturing Engineering Technology / Packaging Science Department at the Rochester Institute of Technology. Their article describes how positive psychology can be used in a Lean Six Sigma environment to help a workforce become more productive and efficient. Thanks for taking some time to go over things today, guys.
Thanks, you're welcome. Thank you.
First off, let's give listeners a definition of positive psychology and some examples of how it can work.
Sure, this is Frank talking. Positive psychology, the term was coined by Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi and Martin Seligman in the August 2000 edition of the American Psychologist, where they talked about developing a psychology that contrasted to negative psychopathology and diagnosis, and that they wanted this alternative to highlight what is best and most desirable in man's behaviors. Their definition really embraced optimism, resilience, happiness, character strengths, and peak experiences. Martin Seligman came up with an acronym for it. He called it PERMA: positive emotions, engagement, relationships, meaning, and achievement. Perhaps two of the best examples of this approach have been in the Penn School, which is a private school associated near Pennsylvania, where they taught positive psychology in a classroom setting to elementary school students, and they found these students have been less anxious, less depressed, more resilient. And the other example I can think of is the Military Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program, which has recently started. They call it Army Strong, where they have positive psychology courses in emotional fitness, social fitness, family fitness, and spiritual fitness.
How did you start making the connection to quality and Lean Six Sigma?
This is Dwayne. First of all, quality has been a very ambiguous term and has been used in a number of different definitions for companies.
Right.
And typically when a company tries to install quality within their products or services, it takes a problem-solving approach.
Right.
And in a problem-solving approach, you have continuous improvement programs like Lean Six Sigma. And positive psychology also is a problem-solving approach. And it actually addresses the human element within the Lean Six Sigma process. So that's how you connect them all.
Okay. Does that address what you see out there as organizations overlooking this human factor when they're dealing with quality, when they're designing processes, where they're building in systems and improving things?
You know, you use the word overlooking. I don't know if a company overlooks the people aspect of it. You know, when it's total quality management, we all know that there's people, there's processes, there's systems, and it's the inner working of those that allows the company to implement Lean Six Sigma. And when we say the word overlook, Frank and I were talking about that it more or less means underdeveloped.
Okay.
You know, Sigma has been more of a quantitative approach. And when you get into the people aspect of it, you're looking more of a qualitative approach.
Sure.
And so in there, I would say it's more underdeveloped, but that's really what we see as the potential with positive psychology.
Why did you specifically target Lean Six Sigma? What was, you know, could it be applied to other quality methods?
Well, that's a great question, Mark, because I've been teaching Lean for about 20 years now, and then when Lean moved more into Six Sigma, and then I started teaching the Six Sigma processes, you find out that it's just one of the continuous process improvement methodologies.
Okay.
And so we don't want to just limit it to Lean Six Sigma. It's anybody that's trying to make some process improvements within a company.
Right.
One of the nice tips of Lean Six Sigma is if you look at the DMAIC process, there are corresponding elements within positive psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So that commonality of problem-solving methodologies kind of makes it an easier fit.
Got it. And you go into... you go into that a little bit in the feature article, too.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what I was going to say was that you have within each of the domain, for instance, you have the ability to use positive psychology at each phase.
Right.
And that's really what you want to do within a Lean Six Sigma environment and the domain process, because in order to get to the measure phase, you have to set the foundation. Well, you do the exact same thing with positive psychology within the define, within the measure, within the analyze, improve, and control.
Can you give some real-life examples of organizations applying this? In the article, you talk about a workstation example. Can you go into that a little bit? And I don't know if you can name names, but organizations that have applied this this method, these ideas to Lean Six Sigma?
Well, that's a great question, because talk about the workplace environment. How positive psychology can be used in a specific thing. If you were working in a quality environment and you started documenting the system, and in that documentation, you're going to use quality assurance procedures and you're going to use work instructions. In order to generate those, all right, you're going to have a machine operator that is going to be responsible for carrying out that work instruction. Well, you can use that machine operator to draw what we call a spaghetti diagram. And in that spaghetti diagram, you have to be able to show that operator that the steps that he or she is taking may be taking more time than is necessary. So in that process, it's not only the process of drawing out the spaghetti diagram, but it's also bringing out, we're going to say, one of the characteristics, which is creativity. An operator might look at it and say, well, why do I need to do this? Well, the reality is that once he or she sees the number of steps, you're opening up the creative side of an individual to make more changes. Remember, most money in a company is lost or made at that ground level position. And that's where you have to be able to use things like positive psychology to give them immediate feedback, to allow them to be encouraged at what they're doing. So in that process, and most companies, and you mentioned the specific companies, there. When I was working at Kodak, for instance, as a consultant, part of my responsibility was to go around and looking at their converting operation and what we could do to streamline that converting operation. There was a lot of wasted time if you had to go from one building to the next to set up that machine. And the machine operators were responsible for doing it. So I used tools to generate the enthusiasm, right, which then affected the productivity.
You mentioned the spaghetti diagram, starting off with that. Are there some guidelines, some simple steps that an organization can take to try things out, to see, to explore more if this is something, these are ideas that they can apply to their situation, to their work environment, their Lean Six Sigma environment?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we currently talk about, and hopefully I'm answering your question here, and that is companies may have heard positive psychology, but their question may be, well, how is that going to be any different than what I'm doing now?
Yeah.
And in there, there is a bit of training, or I'm going to say education process, on what positive psychology is. For instance, one of the characteristics of positive psychology is curiosity, right? In curiosity, you've got to allow that employee to be curious. Well, as we know, in the Lean Six Sigma environment, there is what they call the five whys. And the curiosity says to this operator, well, maybe I need to allow this operator to be curious. Many of the corporations are out there under a directive approach. They're not as participating. Well, in positive psychology, you do encourage participation. And you have to then train that operator or the supervisor or the manager or even the CEO on how to be curious. And the key to doing this, and that is setting the framework up, and that is to make sure that they can demonstrate these positive psychology skills. It's not just something you go in and say, here, use positive psychology. Because it's a qualitative approach, we still have to bring it down to a Lean Six Sigma methodology, is that is to generate quantitative information that says that John now can perform this curious methodology.
Yeah. For example, within the DMAIC methodology, you have to analyze, you look at root cause and analyze. Of course, anything in positive psychology would be challenged skills balance. Sort of on a research about looking at the classroom setting, you can get skills and challenge to be closely related, be people are able to perform much better, they're more involved, and they're happier. A very simple way to try to do that in the company would be to have someone go and take the test around character strengths called the DIA test that Marty Seligman's website, it's Authentic Happiness, it's an open source test.
Yeah.
Then develop talent around the top three character strengths that they have so that the person can feel a sense of being stretched and excited, which I think will lead to greater retention among these kinds of employees.
Taking inventory of those strengths and weaknesses of the individual and seeing what you've got and playing to their strengths, essentially.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of research in positive psychology that you don't get much bang for the buck in remediating weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You're much more off to take your time and energy and to invest in its developing strengths.
What would you say why some organizations might hesitate to take something like this up and explore it some more? What would be some roadblocks in that?
Well, if an organization has a lot of systemic problems,
yeah.
You know, the old joke about the Titanic, people could really improve their positive psychology skills, but in a night, that's not going to be very helpful.
Right.
Whenever you go through a new process, there's fear, there's trepidation, there's a period where it's going to seem like it's going worse. You have to be sort of committed to getting through that. And unfortunately, some organizations get very wedded, I think, to a rather negative, punitive model, which tends to make for a lot of defensiveness. In the short term, it may get people excited and aroused enough to increase their performance, but it tends to have a lot of long-term bad consequences. And if you sort of have a climate that's wedded to that, it's not going to embrace positive psychology very well.
Okay. Well, thanks again for spending some time today and going over some highlights of the article. And again, you can find the feature article, The Power of Positive, in February's Quality Progress magazine, as well as at our website, www.qualityprogress.com. This is Mark Edmond of Quality Progress magazine. Thanks for listening.